This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Hi, my name is Agile, and I support Gen X Grown Up through Patreon, and I believe you should too. Just go to patreon.com/GenXGrownUp.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown up?
Gen X Grown Up is a YouTube channel, website, and audio podcast you're listening to right now. All made for and by people who love exploring media, games, tech, and toys of yesterday and today through the eyes of Gen Xers who refuse to grow up.
Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
Welcome back, Gen X Grown-Up podcast listeners, to episode 92 of the Gen X Grown-Up podcast. I am John. Joining me, as always, is George.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And, of course, Mo is here.
Hey, everybody.
This episode will investigate a new series set in the Silence of the Lambs universe, build an inexpensive gadget that plays hundreds of Atari classics, and we make our 26th and final entry in the Humble Bundle Game series. Oh, I'm a little sad. A little melancholy. Bittersweet, George.
We were on A. Hell with that. I'm ready. I'm done.
Ready to be done.
Yeah. John, remember D? Oh, that was awesome.
Oh, those were the days. We were so young back when D. Oh, what about L? Oh, L was great. Those were the great letters.
Oh, let's not go to L. No. Too many painful memories.
You're going to make me cry. Before we get to that melancholy ending of the A to Z Humble Bundle series from George, let's get into some fourth listener email, my favorite part of the show. And George, to commemorate the fact that this is wrapping up your series, our fourth listener email is from your favorite patron. Go ahead and introduce him. It is Stubaka. Exactly, it is. Stubaka wrote in. Subject line of his email is episode 91, so we know exactly what he's talking about. He says,
clarity.
Hey, fellers, so much great stuff, but I'm going to break it into bullets. Here we go.
All right.
Wow.
Number one. Mo.
Uh-oh.
Dang it, I've avoided spoilers for The Expanse, but I know the character you're referencing, so minor spoiler there. So you talked about the new season of The Expanse.
Yep, he claims. And I know exactly what he's talking about. Sorry about that.
Yep. Well, I would hope you know what he's talking about. You brought it up.
Somebody had better know.
True.
But thanks for the heads up on the Art and Arcana book.
Oh, yeah.
That's been in my wish list since it came out, but it's never been on sale. That's the Dungeons & Dragons art book, right?
That's an amazing book.
Yeah. Since he sent this email, he already posted in our Discord server. He got it, and he posted a picture proudly holding it that he has it now. And I think three or four more people saw that and also went and got it, myself included.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a great book.
Number two bullet point, George.
Mm. Uh-oh.
Alan Tudyk actually went to high school in Plano, like I did, at my alma mater's rival, though.
Mm. I knew he went to high school in Plano. I didn't know that Stubaka did. That's awesome.
I didn't either. I mean, he was in Texas, but yeah, small world. Funny side story, my wife ran into him at the Target in Frisco and got a picture with him.
He was probably trying to buy Firefly action figures or something.
He was, yeah.
I can totally see him in a Target. He seems like a guy that'd just go to Target and buy stuff, you know?
Yeah. And if I saw him, you're damn straight I'd get a picture. Yeah, so too. I don't blame your wife at all, of course.
Absolutely.
I don't care how creepy it'd be.
And number three, John, I think you and George should do a new video series all about dash cams. I know I'd watch.
Oh, Jesus.
Especially with you guys like going side by side or...
That would be awful and probably illegal in a lot of states.
Yeah.
What's the profanity per second rate that you're allowed on YouTube? I don't know.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. But now that we both have dash cams, that, you know, I'll have that side channel I run periodically. I post stuff on there, but there's no George in it. Well, there's a little bit of George in it from a few times you rode with me, actually.
Are there?
No, yeah.
That's probably not.
And I think there's a clip when we were on the phone in Bluetooth once that we were talking and there were people pulled in front of me. Yeah, a lot of fun with dash cams. Stubaka goes on to say, that's about all I can think of at the moment. Keep up the great work, guys. I can't wait for the next episode. Semper Quartus, Stubaka.
Awesome.
Thank you, Stubaka. Not only for this letter that you sent in as fourth listener, but also for your continued love and support. We love it every time you write in. In fact, anytime the fourth listener writes in, if you'd like your email featured here on the show, just hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. We read every single one, and most of them make the show, just like Stubaka's. All right, with that good business behind us, it's time to jump into the body of the show right after this. Over the past few weeks, we've been trying out Factor Meals, and they're meals that come straight to your door. They deliver them to you in the mail. They drop on the front door in this freezer pack. And it's a great way to eat stress-free. And this spring, you can get delicious, ready-to-eat meals. They're fresh, never frozen, chef-crafted, and dietitian-approved. And here's the cool thing, as we've all found out. You throw them in the microwave for 2 minutes, and they're ready to eat and not even requiring cleanup.
And if you can't find something on their menu that you like, then you're just way too picky. Mm-hmm. Because they have over 35 options. Mm. You know, they have things like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, Veggie, and we even tried the vegetarian one, which was really good.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just the regular meals, but they've also got all these add-on packs, which I really love. These are right. things like, you know, breakfast or on-the-go lunches or little snacks, even like beverages that want to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So really, I mean, like they say on their site, what are you waiting for? And they're not kidding. You can get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals by heading over to Factor.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Are you looking for good gourmet meals? Try the meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking.
We're celebrating Earth Day all month long. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for lowest carbon footprint meals.
So head to factormeals.com/GenX50 and use code GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code GenX50 at factormeals.com/GenX50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Jacques, you'll ride shotgun and volcano here.
It sure lives up to its name, Matt.
Tracker here. Assemble masks. Venom has struck again.
Try and stop me, Tracker. Convert outlaw.
Vehicles each sold separately with two figures. Batteries not included.
Okay, Volcano, do your stuff.
Fire!
Mask.
Wow.
Where illusion is the ultimate weapon. Mask, Volcano, and Outlaw. Each sold separately. New from Kenner.
Let's kick it off right here at the beginning, as we always do, talking about media that we've been consuming, something on television or in the theaters or comics or movies or music, whatever it might be. And Mo, let's start with you. You have something really special and cool that you recently watched.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after, what, 9 months through space, you know, the Perseverance rover, which is the size of an SUV, apparently, landed on Mars. And John, yes, it did land. Not just because they said so, but there are pictures.
Why? You ask me, hey, did you watch the landing? And I'm like, you can't see the landing.
Yeah. I mean, NASA just says it landed. How do you know it did land? I'm like, dude, come on. But yeah, there's pictures, actually.
I saw guys in a room cheering. I assume it landed. Right.
Moon landing conspiracy theorist.
Isn't that crazy?
So, but it was exciting. That was really cool.
It was exciting.
So it's the size of an SUV,
yeah,
you said?
It's huge. It's huge.
That's crazy. I mean, the controlled descent, I'm assuming they had to do some firing rockets or something.
Oh, this thing was nuts.
Normally they just drop in and crash.
No, this one, they actually, it came in, had a parachute that slowed it down. Then at some point the parachute isn't enough. Then it went to like rockets.
Wow.
And then because the rockets would kick up too much sand, like too much dirt, if it got too close, mm-hmm. the rocket hovered and then lowered it on a crane. Yeah, seriously. It lowered it on a crane.
Wow.
And then the rocket like just blasts off and crashes somewhere off in the distance.
That's crazy.
Wow. All that had to work. And it apparently all worked perfectly, and there's actual video that they're showing now. They actually have some video clips, I think, up there on the internet now. But to me, it's just, I just admire anybody that could work for years on something that could all go horribly, horribly wrong in a second.
But it didn't,
but it did not.
Luckily. But there's like that elation, that celebration.
I was going to say, that sounds like my career life right now. I've worked for years and it's gone horribly, horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong.
So what are they going to do with the Perseverance now that's there? What's planned for this little guy?
Like the same as the other ones, but it has a lot more equipment.
More
so
modern.
It's going to look for life, like signs of previous life.
Mm-hmm.
Because of its size, it's a little more mobile than the other one, so it has to travel further, mm-hmm. faster.
They can allow the aliens to carpool in it.
Yeah,
since
exactly.
It's the size of an SUV.
You know, well, if there's an alien, they can just roll right over it now, so they can just bypass. You know, it's like, what was that bump it hit? I don't know. But they even had the coolest picture they had was like from the rocket. They have a picture from above of it being descended on the those cables, which I thought was just a cool, cool picture. So I'm always jazzed with anything space. I always geek out in that stuff. But to me, this is like just super cool.
Yeah, rightfully so. Yeah. Well, and you know, Tom C, our listener and patron, he's also a huge space nerd. So make sure you get your facts straight. He'll straighten us out if we get it wrong.
Let me know.
Yeah, he also loves that, as do we. You know, when I see that, it's exciting to see, but like we're at this point and now I know that we're going to make it to Mars, but I'm not going to get to go. I'm too old and I can go to the bathroom every 45 minutes. We might get there in my lifetime, but I'm not going to get to go.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to go to Mars, quite honestly. And you know, I like having oxygen.
I've grown accustomed to it.
Yeah. it's almost essential for me now. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Me both. Me too.
Yeah. Can you imagine me going with my sleep apnea machine?
George, your stuff is filling up the back of the SUV. You're going to have to move some crap.
Damn it.
Deal breaker.
How about you, John? What have you been watching?
Well, I wasn't watching anything nearly so earth-shaking, but I did watch, I came across a new film. It showed up as a documentary, and because I'm a sucker for those, I'm like, that's interesting. It's called A Glitch in the Matrix. It's a brand new film.
Oh, yeah. You got me to watch that.
I mentioned it to you. Yeah. I mentioned it over on Discord. Yeah. Yep. So it came out in this year, 2021. It's brand new. You can watch it on Amazon Prime. The concept of this documentary is, it's got a few levels, but at the surface level, it's there are people who believe very, very genuinely that we are living inside of a simulation, that we're just a program, like the Matrix.
Okay, I remember seeing this trailer now.
And so when something happens, you know, like we have like the Mandela effect where you swear something is different, or I think it was in Neo said in the Matrix, if they had deja vu, that's a glitch in the Matrix or whatever. They believe that. And in fact, they have crystallized their belief around the film The Matrix. Not so much, I mean, it's a great film, and not just they worship the movie, but it really, it's like they're like that. That's what we're saying is real. That's what they kind of believe. It kind of crystallizes it for them. So throughout this film, they're interviewing these people. Now it's in a pandemic environment, so a lot of the interviews are done via Zoom. And clearly several of the people didn't want their faces to be seen. So the way they've disguised the interviewees in the film is rather than just blacking them out or pixelating them, they have created full 3D rotoscoped robots on top of the people sitting in the chair.
They have expressions and everything. Yeah.
Yes, it's like a person's there, but they're a giant chrome robot talking because they didn't want their face seen for some reason.
So are they like Lawyer Cat? Is that what they went for?
Not entirely unlike Lawyer Cat.
Yeah, actually, yes. You know what? That's pretty damn close. Yeah.
So all of that is interesting and cool and... like, there's no way to prove or disprove if the fact they're right, because you wouldn't know until you died anyway. But I would not have brought it up, except when you watch the film, you kind of go, well, that's interesting. Things are going down. People are telling their life stories, their experiences with other people. And then, holy shit, gets dark toward the end. And like a guy talks about incredible crimes that he did while under the delusion of being inside of the Matrix, because he thought it had no...
It didn't matter.
There's like a huge left turn toward the end of this film that turns it into this amazing true crime documentary.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, absolutely. What I found interesting was like they talk a lot about Philip K. Dick, who I'm a big fan of his writing.
Electric Sheep, that's the Blade Runner thing, right?
Blade Runner thing, Scanner Darkly, a whole bunch of stuff. And apparently he was a big proponent that this is real, that, you know, back in the 70s, they talk about, they refer back to a lecture he did in Paris where he just talked about like, you know, we are living in a simulation and he firmly believes it.
Footage of him, he believed it. Yeah. And so did the people in this film. So I bring it up because A, interesting documentary, kind of like a fringe belief thing. B, the way that was produced with the robotic rotoscope interviewees. And then C, capital C, is the amazing twist at the end. It's something that if you see it in passing, don't pass it up. If you're at all interested, you should check out A Glitch in the Matrix. You can see it right now on Amazon Prime. George, how about you? You have something that intrigued me when I first heard about it, but I've not checked it out yet. What have you been watching?
I have been watching a new TV series based on one of my favorite, I don't like to call this film a horror film, but that's where it's most closely associated.
Yeah.
The Silence of the Lambs. They've got a new TV series called Clarice, which is based on the character Clarice Starling from the movie.
With Papa Bees.
You know, Jodie Foster is obviously the most iconic actress portraying that role. We've seen other people portray it in other different films after that because she never went back to it. This takes place in a time frame exactly 1 year after the Buffalo Bill murders.
Oh, like right there. Quick.
Yeah. So it's kind of like her career then?
It's what happens to her after.
Okay.
It's focused on her, not on Hannibal Lecter has no part in this. Neither does Buffalo Bill, obviously, because he's fucking dead.
Thank God.
What does happen, it starts off with her in a psychologist's office, an FBI psychologist, and he is trying to certify or not certify her for duty. because, you know, she went through this horribly traumatic experience and she has PTSD.
And he says just a year ago, so it's still fresh.
Yeah, just a year later, so it's really unique. And remember, in Silence of the Lambs, she saved the daughter of a very influential politician,
sure.
right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So that politician is now the attorney general, and she calls her into duty on a case that looks like it might be a serial killer case that she has a task force who's investigating it.
Okay, makes sense.
Nobody in the FBI likes Clarice Starling right
now.
What? Everybody hates her because they feel like she got too much publicity and notoriety, and it made them all look foolish that a cadet
saw fucking Buffalo Bill.
And that's why they don't like her, because they were working on it and she solved it. Remember, in the film,
jealousy,
she went off on her own.
Whippersnapper.
They went somewhere else to go try and track the guy down, and she found him in his house, you know, just on
the butterfly
canvassing
thing.
Visit. Yeah.
Or the moth, whatever it was.
The moth, right? It's really interesting. I didn't think I was going to find an actress that could replace Jodie Foster's portrayal of the character.
Uh-huh.
The actress that they've chosen for this, and I can't think of her name right now, so somebody will look it up and write it into us about it, but she absolutely has supplanted Jodie Foster for me as Clarice now. I'm really surprised. She does a tremendous job. She's a bit younger than Jodie Foster was at the time when she did Silence of the Lambs.
But she's
and
supposed
I think
to be
that's crucial to the character.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit of like naivete and, and youth and optimism baked into that character.
But she's also broken. Yeah. She's completely broken. Like Clarice was broken in Silence of the Lambs because of the traumatic events from her childhood, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This Clarice is broken from that, plus Hannibal Lecter and Buffalo
Bill. The events of Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
sure.
My goodness. And it's going to be a police procedural more than anything. Like, it's just going to be investigating a new crime each week. I've seen the first two episodes. So there'll be a lot of quick endings to stories that you would think might last two or three episodes. It doesn't appear that they're going that way, but they're good stories.
Okay.
And the first two are really developing her character and the people around her, the team members that she associates with now.
So is it episodic then? Like, you can watch just one episode, or is it more serialized, or is it this new hybrid of both kind
the
of?
The character story of Clarice is absolutely serialized. The stories themselves are episodic.
Interesting. Interesting.
They do show a what happened last time at the beginning.
There's been a real shortage of episodic stuff that I can't. Oh, you got to watch two seasons to know what's going on. And now I can take a bite and enjoy just that one.
You can.
That makes it more approachable.
And at the beginning, they'll give you a what happened previously type of thing. So it'll bring you up to speed of her character development and other people on her team. They've got a really nice cast of supporting actors. Cal Penn is one of the people on the team.
Oh, yeah. I like him. Haven't seen him in a while.
And they even brought in the girl that Clarice rescued from Silence of the Lambs. Her character is in this.
She continues.
She has been trying to contact Clarice this entire year, and Clarice has refused to speak to her.
Ooh.
And so there's some contention between that girl, the mother, and Clarice about that whole thing. Clarice doesn't want to talk to her because it's making her relive the past, and the mother wants her to talk to her because her daughter's going insane.
Yeah, because I imagine she has a couple of issues, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
Well, and she even, apparently the girl saved the dog from Buffalo Bill's house, so she still has Puffy.
That little chubby little white dog. Poodle thing?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I hated that dog is the creepiest part.
Yep. But it's a good series. It's CBS Fridays.
Okay.
I would suggest taking a watch of it if you enjoyed Silence of the Lambs at all.
Oh, I think so. I mean, you have the Silence of the Lambs as a springboard.
Yeah.
You have, you know, your endorsement of this actress. You have building on a story that we know, and it's episodic. So you don't, it's not a commitment. You can try it, see if you like it. If you do, there's a larger story of her backstory. But yeah, I mean, I'm in.
Yeah, it's definitely worth, it seems like it's worth a shot for sure.
Put it in my sonar right now. Wait for it to come in. I'm ready.
You mean you're going to turn to CBS and watch it?
I mean, I'm going to CBS All Access where I have a subscription and watch it right now.
Right, exactly right.
Correct.
Thank you. I didn't want to misconstrue that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everybody's got a little smile inside. Sneaks out every once in a while. Like when you're eating a Rolo, it's too hard to hide. 'Cause Rolo is a whole roll of smiles.
Chewy caramel, rich milk chocolate. Rolo is a whole roll of smiles.
'Cause Rolo is a whole roll of smiles.
Let's get into tech and toys. Mm-hmm. And I think we all have something to talk about today. So I'm just going to throw it to you, George. What do you got for us?
I have an item that was sent to us by a company. They asked us to review it. They sent it to us a long time ago, like at the end of last year.
That's only a couple months, dude.
Yeah, well, you know, it feels like forever, though, in this environment. John got the email and they said, would you guys like it? And I said, sure, that sounds interesting. I'll give it a shot. And he had it sent to me and I put it on the gaming shelf because it's kind of a board game-ish type of thing and never touched it again. And like a month later, John was like, hey, did anybody do anything with that? I'm like, I don't even remember that. Do I have it? And I went looking. There it is. Damn it.
Oh, I do
That's
have
on
it.
Me. So I decided to pull it out for the tech and toy section because it's kind of halfway between a toy and a game.
Okay.
It was kind of difficult to figure out which one it is. It's called Mondrian Blocks. And what it essentially is, it's a single player little plastic puzzling device where one half of the box has these little cards in it that tell you how to lay out certain bricks on this 8x8 grid. Mm-hmm. And those blocks have to stay exactly where they're at. And then all the other blocks in there can fit inside the 8x8 grid, but you have to figure out how to place
them. Oh, it's like the different tiles or different shapes, right? Is that
yes.
what it is?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
They're all rectangles and squares. Some of them are like 1x5 or 1x4. Some of them are 2x3.
Mm.
There are black tiles. Those are the ones that stay in place according to whatever card you picked out to try mm-hmm. and solve. There are 88 different cards.
So you got to work like they're like barriers. You got to work around.
Yeah,
are exactly. these all different colors, and you're matching the pattern on the card. Is that
no? There's nothing sort of? Like that. You don't match any color. You just have to solve.
Oh, it's
it.
Just figure out how it fits.
Figure
oh,
out how
I
it
see.
Fits.
Oh,
it's for one player at a time. They come in four different varieties. There's a red, a yellow, a blue, and a white.
Mm-hmm.
So you can buy any one of these four puzzles. Each of the four puzzles has 88 different cards in it to attempt.
Nice. A lot of variety then, huh?
A lot of variety. The game box says that it's impossible to memorize all the solutions, so you'll get a lot of gameplay out of it because you'll try number one, then later on you'll go mm-hmm. back and you won't remember how to do it. So my only problem with this is that apparently I'm dumb.
That can be a problem.
I tried.
I was going to go on the word apparently, but go ahead.
I tried to solve just puzzle number one, and I played with it, I don't know, for 15, 20 minutes. And I was like, damn, this is really tough. I can see where certain things have to go, but putting the rest of them in place, I can't figure it out. So I said, well, let me go take it to my wife and play a joke on her because she'll never solve it if I can't solve it. 2 minutes later, she had solved it. I'm like, damn,
that
it.
Was easy.
And I go in there to look, and sure enough, she solved it. And then she's like, I'm going to play a trick on Michael. I'm going to get Michael to try it. 35 seconds later, my son had solved the damn thing. Like, damn it. I guess
so,
the older brain thing is causing a problem.
House.
Oh, my God. They're simple, easy-to-use blocks. I would suggest that anybody who has a young child, this is for ages 8 and up, certainly starting at 8 to 9 to 10 would be appropriate for this game. Mm-hmm. If you have a young child, this is a great thing to give them so it activates their spatial awareness and their problem solving skills and different things like that. And it's tactile, it's hands on. You could have done this in an electronic device and made millions of dollars
instead of a phone app.
Right.
You have the physical thing.
Yeah. Having this physical device, you can take it with you on the road trips. Like, remember when we would be kids in the car, you would take the little different, the magic marker things where you would highlight the thing and it would reveal the trivia question clue or whatever.
The invisible ink stuff. Yeah.
The invisible ink stuff. This kind of harkens back to that era, which is why it's a great Gen X toy.
Well, that's cool. I'm sure we'll put a link in the show notes where you can find it and take a look for yourself. Mondrian Blocks. Mondrian Interesting. Blocks.
Yeah.
Great. Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, Mo, that's what I was messing around with. You said we have three things in the tech and toy segment, which is a rarity for us because the announcer of this section doesn't often have a tech or a toy. You have something this time?
Yeah, I have something this time. This is more of a tech side, but everyone's aware of Smithsonian, the museum. Museums and all that stuff, mm-hmm. right?
Right, the Institute, mm-hmm. right?
I was doing some research on God knows what, but anyway, it found out that the Smithsonian, since it's publicly owned,
right,
they basically have a huge library of free assets that you can go and use royalty free. And I'm talking about 3D models, artwork.
What?
All that stuff. Basically, it's just huge. I mean, there's literally tens of millions of things you could download.
And you're talking like, is it like video and images and
video,
sound
images,
and stuff too? All
like
that kind
buildings,
of stuff? Really?
Famous buildings, like 3D models of famous buildings. buildings. You could download, I think there's one of like the Versailles, or there's one of the skeleton of a mammoth that was found, a 3D model that you could print.
That they have scanned from the museum that you could, oh,
I was
going
to
say,
you can download these 3D models and print them on your 3D printer.
And you could print them if you want to. Yeah, you could print yourself an Apollo 11 capsule. You could print, and if you have like,
damn,
there's
it.
Artwork.
Now I've got like 17 years worth of stuff to print out immediately.
Where I was looking at, when I was doing this stuff in Unity, someone was saying like, hey, you know, instead of struggling to figure out how to find a good wallpaper, they have art of wallpaper from like this famous place that you could use. They have the images of
this.
It's
of course high resolution for archival
all
purposes,
super
high, right?
Res, all super awesome, mm-hmm, stuff. It's wow, like crazy. I think I was looking at some, they have a whole stats page too of who's using it, and so far they've had almost 15 million people look at their assets just this year.
Just so like in 2 months.
Yeah.
Like that's just getting started with the year.
15 million people.
I'm looking at it right now. They have like certain platforms too. 3D Voyager. They have all these things. It's set up into the, oh, this is awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and you can, it's one of these things that you could just have fun just looking through all the stuff, like famous buildings, mm-hmm, and the models. I download a couple models just to see what they're like. Now, some of them, they don't make them so that they're easy to 3D print because they're just accuracy was their criteria.
Right. You have to put in your own supports and whatever.
Yeah,
if you want
supports,
right, yeah,
and some stuff, you know, you may, that's have okay, to manipulate, yeah, or fine, cut up or whatever, but it's all there and it's all free and you could use it legally.
So what have you found there already? So you discovered this and you went,
oh,
in,
yeah,
what have you already leached off of this open
I
access?
I downloaded an Apollo 11 capsule that they have,
awesome,
on there. And the thing is that, yep, the 3D model is not just the outside, it's in and outside model. Like it's all, it's fully,
oh,
3D.
Oh wow.
It's like if you slice it,
yeah,
there's
it's
the guts
inside,
inside
of it as well.
Damn.
If nothing else, it's just a lot of fun. And if you like artwork, you just want to have some cool wallpaper for your desktop, there's stuff there. Yep. It's a huge resource. It said you could spend hours, I have, just seeing what's there.
He knows firsthand.
Yeah.
You could spend hours.
You could easily spend hours, yep, just
understandable,
just going down these rabbit holes of just discovering stuff. So it's pretty cool. That's
I've
why
already
I wanted
spent
to
5 minutes.
There you go. So I'm going to obviously put a link into our show notes so everyone knows how to get to it. But yeah, if you're looking,
perfect,
for anything like that, or if you just have an interest in just finding cool stuff, that's definitely a place to go.
That's great.
So there, I have that, which is pretty damn awesome. So John,
it is, yeah.
What do you have that's pretty damn awesome?
I do have something I think is pretty damn awesome. Not without a little bit of effort, but it has turned out to be pretty damn awesome. So, well, we have talked at no end about the Atari VCS that I finally got, and we discussed it the last couple of shows, did a review of it. And there were some things of the VCS that kind of fell short. And so I started kind of poking around what else was out there that I kind of play with that might scratch that Atari nostalgic itch a little bit better. And I stumbled across this package that Micro Center puts together called the Atari Raspberry Pi. So effectively what they've merged together is a little Raspberry Pi running RetroPie that I think anyone who's been in the Raspberry Pi environment has heard of. It's an emulation station running on that. But they have licensed Atari games, much like Atari's licensing their games to everyone these days, pre-formatted on an SD card. So it's this kit that comes with a Raspberry Pi, and it comes with these Atari games on an SD card, and it comes with a controller.
Oh, it does.
And
okay,
it comes with a Raspberry Pi case that looks so much inspired by a VCS. It's,
oh,
got
neat,
the wood grain on it. It's got the little slats on the sides and everything. It was something I wanted to try to see because I've never messed with anything with RetroPie, but people swear by it. They love it. I've done one video on it. And in fact, we'll put a link down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. We're going to give this little pie away when we're done doing videos with it. And you can watch in the video how to register. But the interesting thing is, it was my first foray into RetroPie. And I had a bad initial experience because of, I think, how it was pre-bundled on this kit. But since I've upgraded to the latest version of RetroPie on this thing, and there's so much you could talk about in RetroPie, but what I want to focus on is this has delivered the best Atari 2600 emulation experience I have had.
Really?
Second only to the original 2600.
Wow.
Amazing.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing better would be to have the real thing.
What kind of controller does it come with?
Well, it comes with like a PlayStation-y looking controller.
Okay.
But it could be your Xbox or anything plugged into it. Here's why it's far superior to anything I have done for Atari 2600 emulation. It's the way they've intuitively mapped the controls. Now, the Atari was a stick and a button. Simple.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
Yeah.
And everybody does that fine. And you can get, well, I've bought games that have 2600 stuff baked in, but there's some stuff you can't do based on how they later used the console. Because the console also has right difficulty A, B, left difficulty. difficulty, A, B.
Oh, all the dip switches.
Black and white switch. And games started using those. Like in Adventure, it changes like how aggressive the dragons are or whether or not they run away from the sword. Later games like Star Master from Activision, they use the black and white color switch to determine, go to your galactic map to go warp somewhere else. Without that, you can only play half the game. They've, by default, mapped it on the controller. So yeah, I move around and hit the A button. All that's fine. Color black and white switch, you click down on the left or the right analog sticks, that's color in black and white. Right difficulty, it's that right trigger and bumper. You toggle them A and B. You can put difficulty there. Left difficulty is the left bumper A and B. On top of perfect emulation, all the controls are there. All those dip switches are there. Like, I find myself distracted from working on the video because I'm playing a 2600 game that I never could play since I had my original VCS.
Nice. How many games did it come with?
It touted 100 games.
Okay.
91 of which are, well, it ended up being 183 with after the update. 91 original VCS games.
Nice.
And of course, you put your own crap on top of it, which is right. what I'm going to be doing right. next. So I think we all have played Stella, the emulator that works fantastically.
Yeah.
It's just that it didn't have it all in one little package at your fingertips. Stella has all the dip switches and stuff if you dig in the settings, but to have it all in your hands, the way you could have reached over to the console and flipped a switch, it's in your hand and it's great. So on top of the cool design, having all the games on there, how well it performs, the Atari 2600 emulation itself is the best I've ever seen. Yeah. And if it's something you're interested in, of course, we'll put a link to the video down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the gadget itself is a great platform to build on. And we'll throw a link there. Could be any Raspberry Pi, but this one is Atari.
And it looks a little like an Atari 2600 too. So, you know,
there's nothing wrong with that. That's a huge selling point.
Are you tired of seeing your teen or young adult struggle on a path that clearly isn't the right fit? Is your teenager confused about which direction to take after high school? The future of work is changing rapidly, and our kids need to know all of the options available after high school so they're empowered to make the choice that is best for them. In each episode, we explore the latest trends that are shaping the opportunities of today and tomorrow. I'm your host, Betsy Jewell, and this is the High School Hamster Wheel Podcast.
When you get hold of the Nintendo Entertainment System, when you master Rob, the video robot, and meet the challenge of Gyromite, when you shoot the light-sensing zapper, when you play the system with the most arcade hits, you're playing with power. The Nintendo Entertainment System. Now you're playing with power.
This is the main event of the podcast. For the three in attendance locally and the millions listening around the world, ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Three rounds in the GXG Gaming Division.
Fighting out of the red corner, he stands six feet. 3 inches tall, weighs slightly more than 100 pounds. What do you got to get your play in this week, sir? I decided to come up with a new intro in case you didn't notice.
Good heavens, didn't you?
Wow. I would say it's overproduced, but it's just so damn cool.
I told you I was bored with the old one.
I don't know how to follow that up and not talk about a game
just
I'm playing.
Just start talking about your game that you're playing. That's all you have.
I will. I mean, I didn't pre-produce a piece for it, but I'll talk about it.
Yes.
I am playing a new board game, kind of, or a video game, kind of. So what I found that Google works in mysterious ways. They know what you're interested in and they start popping things up. I didn't go looking for this, but scrolled across. I saw it, $20. I bought it. The Pac-Man Arcade Monopoly game is what I picked up from Amazon.
So it's monotony. Okay.
Why?
Well, it's Pac-Man. And yeah. I don't need a second reason. That's just one. So, right. Yeah.
I kind of want to know what the street names are in this thing.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you. It's really easy. So many times I've mentioned before that you look and you go, oh, they slapped Pac-Man onto Monopoly. Yawn. Yeah. I really don't care.
Did that a million times. Yeah.
What they did here is they really dumbed down Monopoly. And I don't mean that derogatorily. They dumbed it down in a good way. So it's not a game that takes 14 hours to play. It's not a game that you have to do a bunch of financial, you know, mortgage and calculate tax with. What they've taken is the basic concept up to Monopoly. You have a board, you got free parking, and you pass go to collect money and whatever. And they put a layer of Pac-Man on it. All the pieces are little Pac-Men. They've added a ghost who's running around on the board who can try to get you.
Ah.
All of the street names are replaced. There's only two per color, and they're just levels. So level one and two are brown. Level three and four are blue on one side of the board. And then you go around. And so when you collect colors, level one and two are a group, three and four are a group, right?
Huh.
Okay, that part's cool. As you roll two dice, one of them is a black dice with blue dots. That's the ghost's movement. So you roll a 10, a 5, and a 5. You move 10, and you have to move the ghost 5. So he gets one of your die to move.
So you get both the dice. He only gets the black one.
That's right. Yeah.
Ah, okay.
But he gets that for every player. Right.
Yeah. And there's one ghost. Yeah. He can attack anybody on the board. And so you work your way around the board. So it's basic Monopoly. Here's the thing that sold me on it. When you pass go, you do not collect $200.
Okay.
When you pass go, you pick up the little Pac-Man handheld game. You put your colored token in the side of it. And you play a game of Pac-Man for 15 seconds to see how many points you earn when you pass go. They give you 15 seconds to play. That's all. So you can't play forever. As many points as you can rack up in 15 seconds, that's how much you earned that you can then spend working your way around the board. In place of all the cards, a community chest, and chance, there are dots that if you land on a fruit, it'll let you jump to any next property before the next fruit. So you can helps you expedite getting a property.
Right.
If you land on a power pellet, you'd think you'd let you attack the ghost. It actually lets you attack your fellow players. It allows you to steal a level from one of them. So one of the properties you can steal. Mm. And you just play Monopoly going around the board. The places where the railroads would be,
yeah,
those are the side exits. If you land there, you must go out the side and come in the other side. You got to jump across the board.
Oh, that's funny. That's cute.
And finally, the game is over when all the properties are purchased and the computer will tell you who had the most points. Most points at the end of the game is who wins. You don't have to crush your opponents.
So when you go to buy things, there's something you have to input. It's not like the little cards that you would just
hold
in front of
you. It's all
in
the game. You get a physical card, but the way you say you bought it, go in the game, put your token in and say, I'm buying level 4. And it deducts the points from you and you own the
card. And this is a physical device they include in the box, not a phone.
That's right. Comes in the box.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh.
So there's no money to process. There's no chance in community chess cards. It's just kind of vaguely playing Monopoly with a Pac-Man slant. And the better you are at Pac-Man, the better you are at this game.
I think I'm going to have to buy this.
Sounds interesting.
It's cute as shit. And I played it once and I'm ready to play it again. Not the least of which because my poor wife, she was a great sport. She played with me. She was buying up all the properties, but I was killing her in Pac-Man. So she was always broke and didn't have any points. So if you're good at the little, and it's a bad Pac-Man, it's LCD and it's hard to see. Who cares? It's part of the charm of it is that it's, and the sounds are great. The sounds are perfect. The samples. That's it. It's dumb fun. Most Monopoly games are like, well, I put, you know, you said at the beginning, George, well, what do you call them? The properties? Are they going to be names mm-hmm. of right. ghosts or names of arcades? Nope. They stripped all that away, made it really simple. And it's just, haha, I did better at Pac-Man than you. I have more points than you. Oh, I stole your property. Let's see who wins.
I assume you won.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, only because points. Like she had all the properties, but at the end I had all the points. So I ended up winning.
There's a little bit of a strategy there. Maybe you don't necessarily want to buy properties if you're trying to extend the game so you can earn some more points to get ahead of someone else.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because as soon as you buy that last one, the game is over. So
interesting.
Yep. Wow.
So we'll put a link in the show notes. Like I said, I think it's only $20 right now. It's dumb fun. If you're vaguely interested, it's kind of a no-brainer to add your board game collection. That's what I've been playing, but in George, in your new multi-round event, that's just the undercard. The main event
yes.
is the ultimate of your A to Z series. I want to hear about Z.
Oh,
of
Z.
This.
I feel kind of sad.
Z. Yes, we are finally at the letter Z. It is the 12th round. I've had my ass knocked down about 12 times in this fight. And I am ready to throw in the towel at this point. Z was a game that I found in one of my Humble Bundle packages that I bought. It is an independent studio that produced this game, so it's not one of the big AAA packages or anything like mm-hmm. that. It is called Ziggurat, just like the right. shape that you think of when you hear that word.
Yeah,
it's by a company called Zigzaggy. Milkstone Studios. And I'll give you the description off of Steam. Dungeon crawling first person shooting at its finest. Fast paced combat, dozens of perks, spells, and enemies, level ups, random dungeons, traps, badass bosses, and carrots.
Wait, hold on.
Yep.
You say carrots?
It's funny. I thought you said carrots for a second.
Oh. I did say carrots.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why did you say carrots?
Because that's what the description said.
Yeah. All right. Why?
So it is a roguelike game in that the dungeons change and the things you can go grab and everything. Essentially, you're there to become a member of this magical order. You go into level one of the ziggurat, and then you try to progress all the way to the highest level of the ziggurat. And once you complete the whole ziggurat, you are now a member of this brotherhood. That's just all the background story. None of that has any effect in the game whatsoever. It's essentially just running around in these first-person dungeon shoot-em-ups and trying to kill everything in sight.
Oh.
It's really all it is.
There's some value to those, yeah.
There's something to be said for that.
Oh, yeah.
There should be.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
So with these types of games, obviously, they're not in the standard gaming rotation for me. It's not something that I generally enjoy. So I understand that my viewpoint is already colored before I started playing the game. However, almost all of those games that I've played, you know, Call of Duty or whatever, the AAA titles, they always had something in them that gave you like a little tutorial or a step-by-step thing. Here's how you change your weapons. Here's how you do this.
Sure.
Not this one. This one literally comes up with some cinematics telling you the background of the story I just described and then puts you into the game. And on the side, there's a little legend to tell you what keys do what. And it's not even all of them. It's just some of them. On your arcade controller, if you're using that, or your keyboard, if you're using a keyboard and mouse, you start playing and immediately die. There's just no way around it. There's no ramp up of this goddamn game. There's no like, here, let you get used to this game.
They just throw you the deep end.
Level one has kicked my ass every time. I played this game for about an hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
And I can't get past level one.
Wow. It's just that difficult, or is it just that difficult to understand what to do?
For me, it's that difficult. Probably a more experienced first person shooter would probably have no problem with this game. I don't like the aiming mechanics. They're very difficult. Like, there's no auto tracking. Like, if you get a little bit close to the monster you're trying to aim, and sometimes the reticle will snap in. Sure. Nothing. No.
This is one of those like super finesse games that you have to be good at it or you're going to die.
Uh-huh. I'm thinking it's better to play it with a mouse and keyboard than it is with a joystick. That's what I played with at first, was an arcade Xbox controller.
More accurate.
I could see it could be fun for people who enjoy that type of game. It's not a game for me. I hate that this is where I'm ending the series, but Z is not an easy letter to find a lot of games for.
Right. Yeah.
Even fewer that are Humble Bundles. So if you like first person shooters, you can probably get some stuff out of this and enjoy it. Like, it tells you every time you die, oh, you gain these new items. Tells you no way to equip them. No way to use them.
You're like, great.
And I tried everything in there. Yeah, it's not good. It's just not good. That's all I can say about it. Unfortunately for me, it's not good.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? But it's just a little a stinky cherry on top of otherwise a delightful Sunday that you've built over these last 26 episodes,
a year in the making,
running through this. So before we cap this one out, I just want to talk briefly about this series that we've done. So your initial concept early on, now a year ago, before pre-pandemic, you were like, I've been buying all of these Humble Bundles and I have games I've never played and I'm often looking for a game to talk about. And you had the concept of running every single letter, finding one for every single letter.
Right.
And you succeeded. You made it all the way through.
I did. Yeah. I found a game with every single letter, 26 games.
Yep.
And it's been fun. You know, we joke about it. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm tired of it and everything. But it has been fun. It has exposed me to a lot of games, some of which I'm still playing, which is kind of the goal of this thing, to find some gems in all those games that I bought.
Yeah. Well, and force you out of your comfort zone into stuff you otherwise wouldn't looked at. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
You found some stinkers.
Yeah.
And you found some great stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the worst one that I found, I went back through the list. The worst rating I gave any game at all was a one token rating.
Right.
So at least everything was that or better, mostly in the 3 to 5 range. But, you know, a number one here, this game in particular, Ziggurat, I gave a 2-token rating to.
Okay.
Because recognize that other people might enjoy it. It's just not for somebody like me. But
yep. Okay.
A lot of good games in this system.
So let's get a final report. Yeah. Let's see where we are. So now we're done.
We are done.
No more changes. We're going to see what'd you spend, what'd you save, what'd you get these 26 games for, lay it on us.
So I've got that. Let's go through Ziggurat first. So okay. Ziggurat right. currently is $14.99 on Steam.
Really? That's kind of pricey.
Yeah.
That's a little pricey.
This is a game that came out in 2014.
Whoa.
So they're super proud of it, or they forgot that it's still on Steam and they never went back and changed the price. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Did anybody ever change the price? I think Bill did. Bill, did you?
I bought this as part of the Humble Indie Bundle number 18 in 2017 for a total of $7.49. There were 17 items in that bundle. Mm-hmm. That means with the division and the average, this game came out to 44 cents. I'd like to have 40 of those 44 cents back.
Oh.
I've obviously saved quite a bit of money. On this particular one, I saved $14.55.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
and the final tally card says...
Total, come on.
Well,
yeah.
It depends on which one you want. I did all kinds of stats, of course. So if I bought each one of these 26 individual games at their Steam price at the time of review, they would have cost me $405.74.
Okay, but
I bought 26 Steam bundles. If I bought them individually, obviously some of the Steam bundles we used more than once. That grand total is $336.88. So even if I subtract the price of the games as they are now versus the Humble packages mm-hmm. that I bought, I still save $68.86.
You're already ahead, right?
Right. Yeah.
But for the games you actually did buy.
Well, wait, there's more. There were 1,119 items in these 26 Humble bundles. That means that on average, each item in this list cost me 30 cents.
Mm.
I spent a grand total $11.16 on these individual games total for a savings over the Steam price of $394.58.
Man. All right. Let's pack this all up and get Humble Bundle to run this 1-year advertisement for what a great deal they are.
But you know what it means, John? That it sounds like George could do this again.
Okay, so Mo can do it. I don't know why George has to
do it. You could do it. Well, now George gets to actually pick what he wants to play. He's not relegated to always doing
this. He does, but it sounds like he has plenty of games to choose from. He said he had over 1,000 games. I mean, come on.
You do in these packages, but you know how many of them start with the letter Z? One.
Just that one. We've used that one.
Right? Okay.
I'm going to do my A to W list next time. Just skip the last ones.
That's awesome, though.
Congratulations on completing this. It's been a fun ride. Before we get out of this, one more time, you usually have one of these thousands you have left over, a Steam key to give away to our listener. You have one for this one?
We do. We have a Steam game called The World of Goo.
Oh, that's a good game.
Yeah.
Is it? Good. Because I purposely didn't look it up because of the title. I was afraid to see what the video would look like for World of Goo.
No, it came out a long time ago, but it's still a very fun game.
Oh, okay, cool. Well, we have that Steam key available.
Yep. Little anthropomorphic blobs who are sticky and you can stretch them between each other and build like a very wobbly bridge to make your way across chasms.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That does sound fun. Maybe I should keep this one for myself.
Nope, too late. We're giving it
too
away.
Too late. We're giving it away.
So World of Goo. So mm-hmm. if you want to get your very own copy of World of Goo for free from Gen X Grown Up, from George, from his library. So it will be in the subject line, George. What should they put in the subject line?
The end.
The end.
Yes.
The end.
Hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com with the subject line. The end, commemorating the end of the series. If you're the first one, you will win a copy of World of Goo. All right. Well, congrats again. I'm going to take a break here and take a deep breath. Wipe a tear from my eye.
One out for the list. Jesus.
Yeah. I may have to.
For the homies.
You know, a lot can happen in 7 minutes, and luckily, that's how long it takes me to tell a story. My name is Aaron Califato, and I'm the creator of 7-Minute Stories. I'm proud to partner with Evergreen Podcasts, and I'd like to invite you to join me on this journey. I'm going to take you on some crazy roller coaster rides using my unique extemporaneous storytelling style, and together, we're going to try to make sense of the world, all through the art of storytelling, and all in approximately 7 minutes.
Thinkable, unthinkable.
The unthinkable taste of Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Sugar to weigh down those Cheerios.
The unsinkable taste.
As we round out the back half of the show here, we always like to take a few minutes here toward the end to talk about what we're looking forward to between now and the next time we get together to record the show. And Mo, I want to start with you.
Sure.
What do you have on the horizon?
Well, it's the second season for a series I really liked. It's called For All Mankind.
Mm-hmm.
I was terrified that this was going to be on the chopping block because it's like a different kind of show and it's science fiction and it's...
Is that the series where we were not the first to land on the moon?
Yes, it is.
I remember that one.
Alternate history type of thing. Okay.
Yep. Alternate history.
Like a Man in High Tower kind of twist on history deal.
I love that alternate history of like what would have happened if Russia beat us to the moon, which basically means the space race continues because the United States can't be last, right?
No.
And so in a way, it's a little sad because it says that we advanced faster because of that. Because at the end of the first season, there's actually a moon base.
Oh, because we have more motivation.
Well, they say competition is good for innovation. And that's what happened in this first season, that since we weren't first, it's like, well, we're going to be better.
Right. So here it is. Like, I guess the series ends somewhere in the mid-70s and we have a moon base.
Because we kept pushing.
And that's where it kind of ends because we have a base. Russia has a base on the moon. And there's a little tension there. And so now it's trying to figure out, you know, where's the story go from there kind of thing. There's so much stuff out there. I wasn't keeping track. And all of a sudden I was like, holy crap, the second season's already out there. It dropped on February 19th. So it dropped like a couple days before we recorded this.
Okay.
Haven't had a chance to watch the first episode yet.
The whole season or just an episode?
No, it's just episode by episode. I think it's weekly.
Oh, so it's coming out. Okay.
So I'm looking forward to watching that because like I said, I really love the first season. So I think it's going to be great.
Sounds good.
Yeah. So that's what I'm looking forward to. How about you, George?
Well, I'm looking forward to an old standard of mine. This comes to us from the CW, that awesome channel of some of the best programming on television, of course. No, I'm just kidding. It is CW, though.
They have a few gems.
They do have a couple nuggets in there, yeah.
It's the seventh season of a TV show called The Flash.
Oh, is that still on?
Wow, seven seasons.
It's still on, seventh season. It's part of the Arrowverse, which the Arrow is no longer on anymore.
Right.
Just some it's of the other shows that spawned off of it.
Right.
That's where it did start, was in season two of The Arrow, which was really cool. And I am really looking forward to seeing how they continue this. There's been a little bit of waning interest in some of those shows on the CW as of late because they kind of proliferated the market, so to speak. I mean, they just had tons and tons of those. There was Arrow, there was Flash, there was DC Heroes thing, or you know, all these different CW shows.
That was the Legends or whatever. And then
they picked up Supergirl from CBS. They also have Black Lightning, I think, is one of theirs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they've got quite a few of those. But I am looking forward to The Flash. It was my second favorite. Arrow was my favorite. They ended that one, unfortunately. This is my second favorite. So I'm happy that I still get to watch this show.
And have you been watching it continuously, regularly? Because I haven't watched it in a while.
I have. I'm a couple episodes back on season six, so I have to watch those before March 2nd.
You're pretty much
way ahead of me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
March 2nd is when this one comes out. I think it'll be a really good series, and it's very possible that it may be the last.
It had a good run, though.
It has. It has seven seasons of anything.
Seven seasons. Yeah. is That's respectable.
That's Star Trek Next Generation era.
Yeah, so, you're right.
It is, yeah. You know? Yep, no doubt.
John, what about you? You looking forward to anything?
I really am. And it kind of snuck up on me. I knew it was coming. I saw a trailer and I looked at my calendar and went, that's really March 5th?
Mm-hmm.
The sequel to Coming to America, Coming to America,
right,
is released on March 5th.
With the original cast, right?
Oh, it's almost everyone.
Yeah.
Right. Arsenio Hall is back. Of course, Eddie Murphy is back in the lead role. Coming to America was one of those lightning in a bottle films. And not just because Eddie Murphy was a genius and he played multiple characters in makeup, kind of a la the Crump style or whatever.
Right.
But he had all these supporting characters. It was like he handpicked this crowd of like a troop that he was able to do little skits within the movie with. Individual scenes in that movie are like some of the best skits you remember from Saturday Night Live. And you quote it all the time. You think about it as the barbershop scene. You know, that boy, good. You got so much stuff in this. And I know they're going to do callbacks to that. I've seen the trailer. And I've intentionally not looked at the second trailer. I just know I'm going to enjoy it and love it.
I'm just looking forward to one part of it.
Yeah, which part?
Sexual chocolate. That's sexual all we need. Sexual chocolate.
That's what I mean. That boy, good. Cannot wait. Coming to America March 5th. So that's what I am looking forward to.
How old are those guys going to be in the barbershop? Oh my God.
They were already old guys.
They were already old, so now it's easier to do the makeup now.
Well, that should make it easier.
Yeah.
Coming three America will be really easy because they'll just be decrepit old dudes.
This is Speak and Spell. It teaches kids to spell.
This is Coleco's talking teacher. It also teaches kids to spell.
This one's been around for a long time, and it speaks.
Try again.
Talking teacher speaks, too. and so clearly.
The first letter of yes.
Talking Teacher also helps your child learn math.
Math?
Yes, math and spelling, all at a surprisingly low price.
When you make a better learning toy, it speaks for itself. Talking Teacher.
Excellent.
If there was anything in this show you'd like to learn more about, the show notes which accompany each episode are full of links to click and explore. Catch up on past episodes and get pinged every time a new one's released by subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts. And you know, iTunes reviews help more than you know, so if you haven't yet, please rate and review us in the iTunes app. And if you have a friend who isn't yet listening, why not? Tell them about us, they'll thank you later. You're our fourth listener, and we'd love to read your emails right here on the show, so hit us up at podcast@genxgrownup.com. And finally, Gen X Grown Up is more than just this podcast. Our YouTube channel has hundreds of videos ready for you to enjoy, plus you can find our entire body of work on genxgrownup.com. That's going to wind it up for this episode of the Gen X Grown Up Podcast. Before we leave, we like to take just a couple of seconds here toward the end of the show to give our express gratitude to the people who generously support us every single month through Patreon. And I want to thank each and every one of you. Levi, T2, Thomas, Chewbacca, Chet, Davis, Dana, Stu, Monkey, Blaster, Stash, at Lee, Ben, Davis, Slowmo, Adam, Dan, Matt, Miss So, Butter Spider, Travis, Agile, Tony, Marcus, Arlem, Steen, Greg, L, Shelby, Chris, Greg Z, Jason, Sean, John with an H, Chad, Mark, Mike C, and Uno Clay. Literally give a few bucks every single month to support what we do here on the podcast over on YouTube and the website. And Mo, if a fourth listener is not yet on that roster and would like to be, would you tell them how they could remedy that situation?
Oh, yeah, it's really easy. Just go to genxgrownup.com/Patreon. There you'll see a link that'll take you right to the Patreon site. We have all sorts of levels depending on what you're comfortable giving, but if you give a little bit more, we have some extra content for you. We have some additional videos, some additional outtakes. We have all sorts of just a ton of extra content for you. But besides that, we also have another way you can support us, which is on YouTube and becoming a YouTube member. And we have a group of people have already done that. And those people are T2, Mike C, Mike B, Marcus, Chewbacca, Blaster, Stash It, Doc, Mike M, and Ms. So. So we're to thank them also for giving us additional money to help us keep the lights on here.
Every single one of them click that little join button on any one of our videos. It's so great to have your support, and we appreciate it more than you will ever know. And thanks for that, Mo. That is going to wrap it up for this edition of the show. We'll be back in 2 weeks with another one, but next week is our backtrack. We pick a single nostalgic topic to dig in deep on. George, tell the fourth listeners what they have to look forward to.
We are ready to dive deep into the world of Gen X handheld electronic games. All those little things. You go to the arcade and play your favorite Pac-Man or Donkey Kong. What were you going to do at home?
I don't know.
You were going to buy something from Coleco or Tommy or Parker Brothers and pretend that it was the same piece of crap thing that was in the arcade.
Guilty.
We're going to talk all about those.
Big time guilty. Awesome.
That's going to be fun. You don't want to miss that one. Until then, I am John. George, thank you so much for being here.
Yes, sir.
Mo, you know I appreciate you, buddy.
Always fun, man.
Fourth listener, it's you we all appreciate most of all, and we will talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Take care, everybody.
No life, no fun. Don't you know that you're a grown-up?
Gen X Grown Up is a member of the Evergreen Podcast family. Learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.
No more washing shows till sunrise. Unacceptable for grown-ups. Your dinner cannot just be french fries. Basically, life sucks as a grown-up.
What are you doing?
Are you poking me?
No, because when you said most of them make the show, you went like this, like you were pointing at somebody was seeing it on the podcast.
No, it's like
I just talk with my
it's
hands.
Like smiling when you talk. That you know, let me hear your smile.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.